Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You know, we're always digging into the less obvious stuff, and today it's all about hurricanes, specifically how Florida handles them. We always hear about FEMA, right? But after looking into these articles about hurricanes Helene and Milton, well, it turns out it's way more complicated than just FEMA swooping in.
Yeah, it's definitely not that simple. What we're really talking about here is a whole system, like really carefully planned out with local and state and federal groups, each one kind of with their own piece of the puzzle. In fact, this article from the Military Report actually says FEMA isn't even like the top dog when a hurricane hits Florida.
Wait, really? I always just assumed they were the ones calling the shots.
It's a pretty common thing to think, but this article makes it clear that the state government is actually the first responder in these situations. It makes sense if you think about it. They're already there. They know the state best and all the unique things about it, right? Like, think Governor DeSantis coordinating everything during Helene and Milton. He's the one making the decisions.
Okay, so if the governor's the one in charge, like the main decision maker, where does FEMA actually fit into all of this?
So think of FEMA more like a super important support system. They're the ones coming in with all that essential aid, search and rescue teams, helping to get the power back on, even providing somewhere to live temporarily for those who lost their homes. Remember those $750 checks people were getting after Hurricane Helene? That was FEMA getting cash into people's hands quickly.
Oh, right, right. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. They're like the first responders, but at the federal level, right? They're to stabilize things and just take care of those really immediate, urgent needs. But if FEMA isn't the one paying for, you know, like the massive rebuilding that needs to happen, who is?
So it's definitely a team effort, but there are some big players you might not expect. The Florida Times goes into the financial side of this and mentions a really interesting one, the Small Business Administration, or SBA.
Wait, the SBA? I thought they were all about helping, you know, small businesses actually get started, not really about hurricane recovery.
Yeah, and you're right, that is their main thing. But they also have this whole other role in helping people rebuild their homes after a disaster. We're talking about folks who don't have insurance, which, let's face it, is a lot of people in Florida, especially in those areas, hit really hard by these hurricanes. So the SBA comes in with these low interest loans to help them get back on their feet.
Huh. Loans, not just, like free money. That's interesting. So it's more about empowering people to rebuild, which I guess in the long run makes a huge difference, especially for a family putting their lives back together.
Totally. And get this, the article even mentions that President Biden is pushing Congress to increase funding to the SBA specifically for hurricane relief. Sounds like they're expecting a huge need for their services after these latest storms.
Yeah, that makes sense when you think about it. Thousands of houses destroyed or damaged, businesses completely shut down. It's going to take way more than a few FEMA checks to get people back on their feet.
For sure. But it's bigger than the SBA, too. Think about everything a hurricane impacts. Farmers lose entire crops. We see affordable housing just decimated. And then there are roads and highways that are completely wiped out.
Yeah.
That's where other agencies like the Department of Agriculture, HUD, and the Department of Transportation step in.
It's like this whole other level of response that most people don't even really consider. We see the immediate impact, like the rescues and stuff, but there's so much more to it. And speaking of groups we maybe don't always recognize enough, this article calls the National Guard the Swiss Army knife of disaster response. What does that even mean?
Right, and it's so true. These are the people, a lot of times, who are the absolute first line of defense at the state level, literally right there on the front lines when a hurricane hits. And the thing is, these are our neighbors, people we see every day who are trained and ready for these emergencies.
It's easy to forget that, right? They have regular lives, jobs, kids, and then boom, a hurricane hits. And suddenly, they're the ones out there filling sandbags, clearing debris, setting up shelters.
Exactly. And they have the resources that are so critical in those first few hours and days, you know, helicopters to get to people who are stranded, those vehicles that can get through flooded streets.
Like those images we saw after Hurricane Milton, with the National Guard going door to door, checking on people, rescuing families who were trapped. It's kind of wild when you think about it, you know, all those everyday people suddenly becoming those like citizen soldiers when they're needed. But what happens when things get so bad that even the National Guard needs help? When it's just too much, even for them?
Well, that's when things get really serious, you know. That's when we're talking about calling in the U.S. military active duty troops. The military report actually goes into those, like, worst-case scenarios.
Whoa, active duty. Okay, so now we're not just talking about a hurricane anymore. This is like a full-on national emergency.
Exactly. And the article is really clear that this is like the very last resort. We're talking about situations where everything at the local and state levels is just completely overwhelmed. Like, imagine a hurricane wipes out a major bridge, cuts off access to a whole community. That's when you might see the Army Corps of Engineers come in with all their heavy equipment and know-how, building a temporary bridge to get things moving again.
Makes sense. So it's not even just about having enough people at that point. It's about really specific skills and resources that only the military has. The article mentioned something about MacDill Air Force Base being evacuated before one of these hurricanes hit.
Right, MacDill. They had to tell everyone to evacuate the whole base, even flew the planes out to keep them safe, which, I mean, that in itself is a massive operation. But it also shows this whole other side of dealing with hurricanes, protecting important stuff, you know, those really critical places.
Because if a base like MacDill is damaged, then our military can't respond as well, right? It's like this ripple effect.
Exactly. And you see this kind of back and forth in the like political world too. The article mentions Senator Rick Scott pushing for those disaster funds to be given to the states as block grants so they have more control over where the money goes.
Instead of the federal government deciding everything, I could see how that would be a point of disagreement, especially in the middle of a crisis.
For sure. It goes back to that whole thing about like who has more power, the states or the federal government, especially when it comes to disaster response, right? Who's really in charge? Who gets to decide where all the money goes?
So it's not just about who's actually out there helping, but also who's holding the purse strings and how all those resources get divided up. Wow, that's a whole other level of complication to this whole system.
Absolutely. And this all gets even more, I don't know, intense maybe when you think about how hurricane season is still going. Like we're already hearing about the need for more funding, especially for the SBA, you know, after all the damage from these last few storms.
Yeah, because those low-interest loans they give out are going to be super important for so many people who have nothing left, who've lost their houses and businesses. That's going to be weighing heavily on those folks in Congress right now.
Totally. The Florida Times talks about how President Biden is really pushing Congress to like step up and provide the support that's needed. But like with everything in Washington, you know, it's never that easy.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. You've got different priorities, different groups of people they represent. And of course, there's always politics involved. It's a lot of pressure, especially with an election right around the corner. It's kind of mind-blowing, honestly, when you really think about all the different pieces involved, all those different people and groups all working together to deal with a hurricane.
It really is amazing, isn't it? Like this incredibly intricate, well-coordinated effort. And as we've been talking about, this article in the military report really highlights that whole balance between what the states are responsible for and what the federal government handles. It's about money and resources for sure, but it's also about control, who's accountable, and ultimately making sure the help gets to the people who need it most.
It makes you realize that this isn't just a government thing, right? Like dealing with hurricanes is everyone's responsibility.
100%. And understanding how this whole system works, as crazy complicated as it might seem, it helps all of us be more prepared, not just on an individual level, but as entire communities.
Right. Knowing what to expect, who to call for help if you need it, having a plan.
Exactly. And even with the best plans, sometimes things are so bad that recovery just takes time. It takes patience. And it takes everyone working together, local communities helping each other out, state agencies coordinating all those resources, federal programs stepping in with aid. And then those everyday heroes, right? The people who just step up and help out their neighbors, no questions asked.
It's that community spirit, That's what really shines through, even in the middle of all that devastation. But it makes you think, with hurricane season being what it is now, more intense every year, these storms like Helene and Milton becoming more common. Is it enough? Is this system, this whole well-coordinated effort, going to be enough in the future?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's something we all need to be thinking about, seriously. As the climate changes, we're seeing these more frequent, more severe hurricanes. It's putting a strain on everything. Imagine a future where hurricanes like Helene and Milton aren't unusual anymore. That's what we're potentially looking at. The question is, will we be ready for it?
It's kind of a scary thought when you really let it sink in. So maybe understanding how things work now is only the first step, right? We also need to be ready to adapt, to come up with new solutions, new ways to support each other when these disasters happen.
I couldn't agree more. Because in the end, it's about so much more than just rebuilding houses and buildings. It's about rebuilding lives, rebuilding entire communities. It's about making sure everyone has what they need to weather the storm, literally and figuratively.
Wow, that's a powerful thought and a great place to wrap up our conversation. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Florida's hurricane response system. It's a complicated issue, we've learned that much. But hopefully you have a better understanding of how it all works, what's at stake, and how we can all be as prepared as possible for whatever comes next. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.